So we've already taken a look at the basis for godly communication, seeing that God has created us to communicate, to receive communication as well. We looked at how to be preparing for godly communication. We looked at Proverbs chapter 1 in the first 7 verses, desiring to display wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discretion, wanting to apply each of those as we are communicating with one another. And this morning, we want to shift the focus to listening. But before we do that, let me open with a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful that you have given to us the ability to communicate. And certainly, we desire to hear what you have said. We know that you have communicated to us through your word. You've also enabled us to be able to receive that, to be able to process that, to be able to respond to that. And so as we continue to explore this topic with the desire of communicating in a way that is pleasing to you in all of our interactions, we pray that you would instruct us from your word, that we would apply that immediately at the same time that we'd be mortifying sin in our flesh that results in communicating in a way that is less than pleasing before you and results in sin with one another. And so instruct us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you'll notice there, unbelievable. You'll notice there that I'm getting fancy with the clip art. But it's purposeful clip art, at least in my mind. And so we want to consider listening. And certainly want to take away a couple of key ideas, I think, that we can apply immediately as we are listening while we are communicating. Now, I found this, I don't know how accurate it is, and it goes back a couple of decades already, but one website estimated that the time spent communicating, this is adults, by the way, that we spend 70% of our waking hours, I guess, in communication, and that 45% of that time is actually spent listening. And so listening is vitally important as we're communicating. And there is great purpose in listening. What would be some of the purposes for listening while others are communicating with us or while we're in communication? What would be some of those purposes? How is listening purposeful? Barry?
Job security.
For jobs, you're listening for job security?
Well, it helps maintain that.
Okay, how so? So not listening to your employer could result in you needing to find another job. There's probably much more to even that one simple illustration there. If you're not listening to your coworkers, to your employer, what results? You're not hearing what they're saying? Okay. Mistakes? Mistakes happen. Yes, miscommunication occurs. Things are not understood because one wasn't listening maybe as they needed to, and it results in error, maybe even costly error, maybe even one's job, maybe death from not listening. There have certainly been people that have lost their lives from not listening. We hear about those types of job accidents frequently, actually. What else? Comprehension. To comprehend, we listen for the purpose of comprehending what the other person is saying? Certainly. Ellen? Discerning. Right. So we listen carefully in order to separate truth from that which appears to be almost true, and that's very purposeful because, again, we don't want to be misled. We seek a full and accurate understanding then. We don't want a partial understanding because that, again, can be detrimental to even moving forward. Requires us to be critically assessing the things that we're hearing, maybe even replaying some of it in our minds to ensure that we've heard things rightly. What else could be some of the purposes that we find in listening? Yeah, Gloria.
For instruction.
Yeah, we want to receive instruction. People are speaking to us for a reason. And so it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we're understanding then clearly. Yeah, Scott. For growth. Yeah, exactly. For growth, for personal growth. That growth can occur actually in many ways. We want to be learning. We want to be, you know, growing as we're listening. But I think that growth can also be seen even within the relationships that we have with those that we're listening to. You couldn't learn a language without listening. You couldn't learn someone else without listening to them, certainly. We even listen by observing nonverbal signals. And so currently you're listening to an audible voice, but that's not all that we are listening to. We're actually listening just, you know, in our observations. We're picking up information that accompanies people's words. And so it's vitally important that we would be listening and listening purposefully so that we could do that. By listening, we show interest and concern and consideration for others. You no doubt have been on the receiving end of the exact opposite of that, where you haven't been listened to, somebody else hasn't shown interest, hasn't shown concern, hasn't shown consideration. And so there's purpose in that. Again, that can facilitate growth in relationships. We can encourage others by listening. Even as somebody is speaking to us, we can be encouraging by nodding our head, not just like a bobblehead doll, but certainly we want to be engaged. And so we can show encouragement to someone that's speaking just even through how we engage them. We want to present selflessness as we're listening. We're listening for the purpose of hearing and learning what the other has to say. And certainly, we want to arrive, as we've already said, at a mutual understanding. I want to understand exactly what that person has said, what they have meant. I want to take that away from that time of listening. So very simply and commonly defined, to listen is to give consideration to something that someone else is saying to you, to give attention to someone or something else. And so we listen not only to people's voices, but we listen to sounds and even to cues that we pick up as we're observing. And in another definition that I just pulled from the web, the ability to accurately receive and interpret messages in the communication process. And we would say listening is actually key to any effective communication. Listening is absolutely required. And yet listening is not the same as hearing, is it? What's the difference between listening and hearing? Yeah, Aaron. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So children playing outside, I'm hearing that they're playing outside, but not listening to the interaction, not really paying attention to what exactly it is that they're talking about, but I'm hearing something. And so hearing may be more the physical aspect, whereas listening requires us to engage our mental faculties and to be thinking through what we're hearing, to process that. Hearing refers to the sounds, really, that enter upon our ears. It's that very physical process. And that can happen automatically. It is not something that we need to work at. You hear things, and that's because the Lord has designed us in that way. I noticed a little bit of smoke in the air at the end of first service, and that's because the Lord has given us senses. And so you just pick it up. As with hearing, it's not something that I actively worked at smelling, but because I have these senses, I was able to comprehend that there was smoke in the air. And listening, as I've already said, requires focus, concentrated effort, and it can involve both mental faculties as well as our physical selves as well as we're listening. And so we pay attention not only to what's being said, but how it's being said, the use of language that's employed in what's being said. We want to notice what the other person is doing with their body. There's body language as well, and picking up both verbal and nonverbal messages. And so one's ability to listen effectively really depends upon one's knowledge, maybe even from the past. And so sometimes, let's say, for instance, with a new person, you're learning that person, and you may not actually, because you don't know that person well, you may not perceive that they're, you know, trying to be funny, for instance. And so there's some background knowledge that needs to attend our listening as well in order for us to most effectively listen so that we can understand. It's not a passive process, but it's a very active process, and it requires our engagement. Now, what I've really presented to you is just at face value, just a very worldly perception. I pulled these definitions off of the internet, but I think they fall short. I think they don't go far enough in describing what listening is when we're referring to godly communication. And so I just don't want to remain on the surface, but we do need to go further than this. Now, I took just a little bit of time to think about some word studies that I would enter into if I was to, you know, investigate the topic of hearing and listening. And so there's much hearing and listening language in both Old Testament and New Testament. And so there's a word, a verb specifically for hearing, for hear, to hear, shema. And you'll recall the verse out of Deuteronomy 6:4. Sometimes is referred to the Shema, and it is, "Hear, O Israel." And there's a command in it. There's a command to hear. And then there's another term specifically for the physical ear, but also referring to the faculty of hearing. There's more illustrative type of language where in the NASB, for instance, often somebody is being told to incline their ear. Incline your ear. Make your ear attentive, essentially. And so this is something that the subject is supposed to cause to happen, that I'm to really turn on my listening ears, so to speak. And then in the New Testament, we see in the Greek, akouo is where we get our English term acoustic from, referring to sound. And there's many other derivatives of this Greek term akouo, but very simply, it means to hear or to listen. And again, we have a Greek term that describes the physical ear itself. And if we go to those texts, you'll very quickly discover that we can build a whole theology around listening, and specifically listening when it comes to godly communication. We've already considered what the purpose is, why is listening so important. We could fill in these ideas. Listening builds, listening reduces, listening helps to, listening encourages something, it improves something, it might deepen something or increase something. And so when we listen to others, we're building trust with them. We're demonstrating respect. There's respect being built. There's an understanding of the other that is being constructed. It reduces misunderstandings. It reduces miscommunication. It reduces just assumptions that are not accurate. It reduces stress as well. It can reduce frustration. I know it can be frustrating when one feels like they haven't been listened to, when they haven't been heard. No doubt, as your children don't immediately obey your instructions, you know that they haven't listened. They're not listening. They maybe haven't even heard because they were preoccupied with something else. And as a result, there's an irritability that can arise. Listening helps prevent or resolve or eliminate conflict. I think of how many times conflicts would have been averted had people just been communicating effectively, and specifically in the listening department. I've already said it helps with language learning, but it helps with all kinds of other types of learning as well. Listening encourages empathy. It displays sympathy. It improves relationships. In fact, when there's not godly communication within relationships that are already struggling, those relationships, they cannot improve. They cannot be deepened. Listening deepens friendships. You come to appreciate the other person much more as you give them your listening ear. And certainly, as we've already alluded to on the job, maybe on the level of employment, it can produce productivity so that one doesn't lose their job, or it increases just the possible solutions that would be out there. But again, it falls short. All of these descriptions really fall short. I'd like to show you something out of Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And so when we're building our definition for listening, I think we need to add one more component part to this. And so in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, my son, if you will receive my words. The receiving of words implies hearing, implies listening. And treasure my commandments within you. Now, treasuring one's commandments, treasuring the commandments that wisdom is offering here, requires something a little different. There's now thought being given to those words that have been received. And if one treasures, there may very well be the outworking of that treasuring the commandments. We go on to read in verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your ear. Heed what is being said. Incline your heart to understanding. Now, when these things happen, I think we can jump ahead several verses to verse 9, where we read, "Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course." And so when we consider that what we've heard has been received, has been treasured, there's an outworking that occurs. There's a right response, and that right response is in the mind. It's in the thinking. So hearing leads to discerning righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. But not only that. It's not only just remaining in the mind. If we go a little further in verse 20, we see that this will also lead to walking. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. And so this is action now. This is walking. This isn't just merely thinking about something, but there's a right response both then in the mind with the thinking, but there's also a right response in the way that is lived out, the way we walk, the way we live, that we would remain on the path. I think of paths of righteousness, you know, that takes me to Psalm 23. The paths of righteousness are described there as well. And it's interesting in the Hebrew that the word for oxen, the trilateral root for oxen, is used to describe these paths of righteousness. And so what's being described there is really a path that's been carved by an ox cart. And I know just from my time in living in Manitoba that when you remain on the tracks, when you remain in the ruts, you hit hardpan, and that's the best place to be. And so we want to live not straying outside of those paths, but living in those clear-cut paths of righteousness. And the way we do that is by first listening. Listening so that there will be a right response. And so I would submit to you even that the primary reason for listening then is to ensure that you would respond rightly. To ensure that you would respond rightly. And I think Jay Adams in one of his counseling books provides for us what should be our working definition. Listening means taking an interest in what another person is saying. So we are considering, we're listening to the sounds, but also, you know, to the nonverbal cues. But he goes on to say, and responding appropriately. Responding appropriately. And you may be surprised at how often, in fact, I would say that every time that a ear is referred to or listening is referred to in Scripture, there's always a response that's either expected or that is demonstrated. Let's go to Job chapter 42. Job 42. I know you've heard me say this before. This is the second high point in this book. That being beginning in verse or in chapter 38, where Job is silenced. He silences himself and the Lord speaks. He answers Job. And so for several chapters answering Job. But then in Job chapter 42, we see how important hearing is, how important listening is. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things." He has listened, no doubt. "And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." He's heard every word that the Lord has spoken, and he has understood what the Lord has intended by all that he has said. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand. So there's a confession there. Things too wonderful for me. I'm sorry. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. And so we see Job's right response here. He retracts what he has said. He repents. He admits, he confesses, and all of this as a result of listening to what the Lord God has said. But we also need to understand that one can respond otherwise as well. One can respond inappropriately. And there's many examples in Scripture of not listening, and they did not listen, and they would not listen. And they were given very specific instruction to follow, but they refused. There was a refusal. And one of those places is in Jeremiah 44:5. You don't need to go there, but let me read this to you. But they did not listen or incline their ears to turn from their wickedness. So not only would they not listen, they wouldn't, they refused to cause their ears to hear. This is a blatant refusal. And we know exactly what it was that they were not listening to, because the verse goes on to say, so as not to burn sacrifices to other gods. They were told not to commit idolatry, and yet they did, because they refused to listen to what God had said. They refused to make their ears attentive to that. And it resulted in them responding inappropriately. Now, we should understand that the capability to listen is a common grace. It's a common grace. It's really bound up in mankind's being created in the image of God. Because we know that God himself, he hears, he listens. We know this from Psalm 94 in verse 9, where we read, he who planted the ear, does he not hear? And so God certainly hears. He's the one that has created hearing, created the ear, and he himself hears. And we know also from Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1, a very well-known psalm, where the psalmist David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. And so God inclines his ear, so to speak, so as to listen to the cry of the psalmist. There are other times when the Lord does not listen, and we see this in Deuteronomy 1:45, where Moses says this, then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice, nor give ear to you. And so he had commanded them not to wage war, yet Israel went and did so anyway, and ultimately lost, because the Lord Yahweh did not listen to them, did not listen to their intentions, did not listen to the desires that they had expressed to go to war. He was not behind that effort. And we read it further in verse 43, you would not listen and rebelled against the command of the Lord, and thereby acting presumptuously. They failed to observe what God was permitting them to do. And they did otherwise. And the Lord did not listen to them then, did not grant them the request. He did not respond to them in the way that they had desired that he would respond. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 7, then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. So at other times, the Lord does listen when people cry out to him. We see in Ezra 8, where the people fasted and sought God concerning a very specific matter, and he listened to their entreaty. And so certainly the Lord listens, and we need to understand that the reason why we can listen is because he first listens, and he has given to man by common grace. That is that both the wicked and the righteous are given the ability to listen. And yet we know at the same time that while the Lord his ears attend to the prayers of the righteous, according to 1 Peter 3, at the same time in Proverbs 28, verse 9, he turns away his ear from listening. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination and it is not heard. And so let's be clear that we live our lives before a God who is listening or who will not incline his ear, depending upon the person, the situation. And God is over hearing and listening. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. And so he is the one who grants the capability. He is the one that gives ability to hear. In fact, there is no hearing or seeing apart from his good gift. And we want to remember that wisdom is clearly in view here as well, that hearing and seeing, the ability to hear and to see, wisdom specifically, the Lord has provided for both of these. And yet, the Lord can cause one to not hear as well. And we see this in Exodus 4 and verse 11. First of all, let me just preface this by saying Exodus 4:11. Did I say Hebrews? I meant Exodus. I did say Exodus? Okay. Let's go to Exodus 4:11. Okay, again, God is overhearing and listening. And we see this in Exodus 4:11, the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, this is in response to Moses making an excuse that he would not be a good person to go before Pharaoh, to go to even before the Israelites and to tell them all that Yahweh had said to him to be his representative. And so the Lord very clearly indicates to him that it is me that gives you the ability, that will give you the ability to speak, to be heard, to hear, or to not hear. And not only you, but everybody involved. And so the context here is really full of listening and response. Listening and response. We see that Moses, as he's introduced to God, that God introduces himself to Moses as I am who I am, or just simply I am. and then gives to Moses the instruction to tell others, this is the way you should introduce me to them. And yet he struggles. He does not want to go. He does not want to listen. But God will ultimately be the one who will cause Moses to listen. He even hears Moses' request and grants Aaron to go along with him. And so listening is certainly involved here. And yet we know that Pharaoh does not listen repeatedly. And this again, because I would say just as God gives common grace to each one to hear, to listen, at the same time when grace is withheld, that one cannot listen, that one's heart becomes increasingly more obstinate and will not listen to what is being said. And we know also that and this is displayed in the Gospels several times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is an instruction, really, a statement that indicates that man is responsible. Man is to hear. He's been given the ability to hear, and so hear this. And this leaves man accountable, responsible. This statement is used after John the Baptist is pointed to by Jesus as being the one who fulfills Malachi 3:1. And that the people that were hearing Jesus speak of this were to accept this, were to receive this, to believe this. It's also used just after the parable of the sower and the seed, again, to recognize that there are different responses to the gospel, that we would recognize that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear these things. Let him receive them. Let him accept them. Let him believe them. And so that leaves man responsible, accountable before God. And yet, God gives grace to listen. And I've already said this, but let's go back to Psalm 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And so the psalmist here, David, comes to a realization, comes to an understanding. Having heard what God has said, his ears having been opened by God, he goes on to say in verse 7, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. And again, I submit to you that it's because God has opened his ears to hear, to listen, to understand what God has said, that the right response here is that the psalmist delights in this, that the psalmist doesn't only delight in this, because that seems to be an internal response, but there's an external response as well, because he proclaims glad tidings of righteousness. He does not hide Yahweh's righteousness within his heart. In fact, he speaks of God's faithfulness and God's salvation. And he does not conceal God's loving kindness, his hesed love, that loyal love, or his truth. And so God gives grace in order to listen. We see this again in Job 33. In Job 33, similar to this, let me read this. And verse 16, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Why does he do this? Why does Yahweh open the ears of men? Well, verse 17 tells us that he may turn man aside from his conduct. And so there's a right response. There's previously a not right response, but by opening the ears, he turns man aside from his conduct and keep man from his pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. All of this as a result of God, by grace, opening the ears of men. And we've already referenced Matthew chapter 11, he who has ears, let him hear. We know that while all men by common grace have the ability to hear and are held accountable because of it, yet we also know that God can open the ears so that they would hear and interpret that exactly what Jesus was saying in that moment, to interpret that rightly, to understand that, so as to apply that immediately. There are many examples of God giving grace in order to listen. One of the earliest ones, perhaps, that's explicitly stated is in Genesis 39:10. In Genesis 39:10, we read of Potiphar's wife and her actions towards Joseph. And in verse 10, it says, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. He refused to listen. And that's because God had opened his ears. He knew what was right and what was not right. He knew what the right response should be. Even just before that, he tells Potiphar's wife, how could I then do this great evil and sin against God? There's the reason. He couldn't possibly, because he has listened to God and he knows what the right response in this situation is. And so God grants us the grace to listen. The grace to listen. And at other times, he withholds grace. And we see this expressed in Pharaoh, the life of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. And so that obstinacy is ever increasing. We know that hearing and listening is beneficial. It's beneficial in many, many ways. And we can go to several Proverbs here. Let me just read through some here in rapid succession. Proverbs 1:5, we already know, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And so the benefit is increased learning. A man of understanding will acquire counsel. And so there's the acquisition of wisdom. Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And just as that is spoken, then that needs to be listened to. It needs to be heard. Proverbs 4:1, hear an imperative. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding and insight. A benefit of obeying this command to hear, to open one's ears, so as to understand what needs to be done and to live that out. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. And so by hearing, by obeying this command, adds to the years of one's life. There's blessing in that. Proverbs 5 and verse 2, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, that you'd be able to accurately read the moment and determine a right course from a course that would be otherwise. Proverbs chapter 8, O naive ones, Understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things. And the opening of my lips will reveal right things, for my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Now, there's something to notice here, and that is in that very last line. So while listening results in the hearing of noble things, the revealing of right things, even resulting in my own mouth uttering truth, yet wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And so notice the things that I don't speak. This again, a right response to what I have listened to, that I wouldn't speak something, that something abominable wouldn't proceed from my lips. There's blessing, certainly, in listening to wisdom. The wise heart will receive commands. This really even vindicates the wise person. But a babbling fool will be ruined. So whereas the wise heart is vindicated, there's evidence of that. The babbling fool only goes to his ruin. The scoffer does not listen. We know that already. And many other proverbs that we could go to. There's a dividends that is paid. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel, accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Dividends. This is profitable. And that one's legacy would be an enduring legacy. Proverbs 21, 28. A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever. There's an integrity. There's a legacy that accompanies that one that listens to the truth. And so hearing and listening is very beneficial, extremely beneficial. This is the connection that we ought to make here as well. We want to understand that listening immediately implicates the heart every time, the condition of your heart. And so I know that very often we go to the mouth, you know, being the expression of the heart. But I would say that your manner of listening as well is going to really reveal your heart. And the one that's going to reveal your heart to most is you yourself. Think about the way you respond in your listening to what others are saying. You can sense the hardness of heart when people say certain things. Even when they call you perhaps to repentance, when they hold you to account, that you don't want to listen to that. And that immediately is indicating that there's an issue. There's an issue with the heart. And so the heart is often very nearby where hearing and listening is described. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and beginning in verse 27. Picking up just at the end of the paragraph there, but it reads, "Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says, then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear it and do it." Now this is wonderful. That the nation would desire to hear from Moses. As the Lord speaks to him, that they would desire that he would intercede in a sense, standing in between them and God, so that they wouldn't need to hear him directly, but that they would rather listen to what he speaks to Moses. Going on in verse 28, "The Lord heard the voice of your words, when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all that they have spoken. But then he goes on in verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. And it's really that heart, the heart that needs to be ready to not only to receive all that the Lord would say, but then to also obey that, that fear of the Lord would need to be present in that heart first. And so the ear and the heart are often linked together. We see this in the Proverbs. Let me read a few here as well. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. This is Proverbs 7, 24 and 25. And so the heart is either going to allow one to listen or result in turning aside. Proverbs 18, 15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. There being a synonymous parallelism there, where both the heart and the ear are receiving, acquiring, seeking knowledge. And we know in other places where it says, Proverbs 19, 27, for instance, cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You will stray from the words of knowledge. You'll actually follow after your own heart, which would only be deceiving you. I was mentioning to Ange yesterday, and this has to do with, I think, Pastor Brad sharing some music lyrics here in one of his dating lessons. And as I was thinking about this, there was a song that was in the 80s. It was called Listen to Your Heart. What a foolish bunch of lyrics. Listen to your heart. Do not listen to your heart. Listen to the commands of the Lord. Listen to wisdom, to knowledge, to understanding, to discretion. And no doubt, as the Lord, you know, prepares your heart, that your heart would be able to receive that. Now, there is poor listeners out there. There's no doubt about that. People pretend to listen, right? I've already referred to the bobblehead doll that is just going up and down with, they're pretending to listen, they're not hearing. There are some that just want to be the dependent listener, where they're trying to gain favor with the other person. And so they're trying to please that person just by agreeing excessively. There's a poor listener that interrupts constantly. There's an intellectual listener that doesn't actually reflect on that which is being said, but just very quickly is trying to solve things, trying to logically put things together. And there's many other types of poor listeners, but we need to be listeners that are godly in our listening. Godly in our listening. And so how can we do this? Well, we need to stop talking and start listening. You know, Job is an excellent example of that. Don't interrupt others, but simply watch, observe carefully, think as they're talking to you. Understand that there's an appointed time for everything, a time to be silent and a time to speak, according to Ecclesiastes 3. And know also that to him who gives an answer before he hears, it's folly and shame to him. And so be silent. Prepare yourself to listen. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. go into a conversation even ready to just simply listen, to focus, to set all distractions aside. My phone's being put aside. I'm going to even stand strategically so that I'm not distracted by the background. I'm going to take every opportunity to ensure that I'm not distracted so that I can concentrate. Put the speaker at ease. Let them know that you're listening. You know, repeat back or ask questions that would help to further clarify. Let them know that you are fully engaged. Eye contact is key. Empathize with what is being said. This very quickly can end really good conversation is when one is not empathizing. One's not sympathetic to what the other is saying. There's an emotionless response maybe. And so we need to put aside preconceived ideas. We need to ensure that we're not thinking of arguments or responses, but that we're just simply listening and trying to put ourselves in the shoes of the one that is speaking so that we can identify carefully. We want to be patient. We don't want to come with a conclusion already in mind. Put that aside as well. We want to listen carefully to tone, listen for ideas, not just words, and certainly be watching carefully people's body language. But all that to say, how can we communicate in a godly fashion? How can we best do that? Well, we need to understand that every time that we're listening to something is going to require our right response, and knowing that there will be a wrong response that can occur as well. And so enter into every communication desiring to respond rightly. But then secondly, understand that your ear is directly connected to your heart. And so the way you listen is really going to reflect your heart in the moment. And maybe in that moment, you're battling the flesh, as we heard from our beloved pastor today. It's going to provide you every opportunity to mortify that the flesh so that you can listen and respond rightly to whatever it is. If it's God's word, if it's God's instruction, if it's interacting with somebody else, that you would be able to rightly respond. And that right response may even mean that you do not listen to something that somebody asks you to do, because it would only be sinful. And so some thoughts on listening. Let's close our time in prayer. Oh, Father, we recognize how quickly we can be distracted, how quickly we can be self-focused, how quickly we can do things that are not right responses to what we have heard, what we have taken in. Father, we desire to flee evil. And so help us to do that while listening carefully to all that you have said, by engaging fully with others as they desire to communicate with us, that we would be able to do that to your glory, to your honor, so that you would receive all praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.